James chapter number 5, verse number 9. Book of James chapter number 5, verse number 9. James chapter number 5, verse number 9. And we do appreciate all our mothers that are here this morning. And I appreciate what you've done and your commitment to the Lord. And I'm glad, amen, for mothers. And we wouldn't be here if we didn't have them, amen. That's part of it. And I appreciate advice, and I appreciate what they've done in our lives. And amen. James chapter 5, verse number 9. It's what the Lord gave me Tuesday night about 2 o'clock in the morning. He woke me up with a scripture on my heart. And the verses kept rolling over. I didn't know where to find it. I said, Lord, if that's you, just help me find it right now. The Lord said, James, amen, chapter 5, verse number 9. He spoke that through my heart, opened it up, and there it was. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Hebrews chapter number 12. Very familiar scripture. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. Verse number 14. Bible says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. We normally stop there, don't go any farther. And that's the scripture we lean on when we talk about holiness. But notice what he says before he says, amen, that without holiness. He says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. And look at this warning he gives us, looking diligently, lest at any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For he knows now how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. Help us, Lord. Would you bow your heads this morning and ask God to help us in the remainder of this service? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your goodness and your wonderful works for the children of men. And Lord, we ask you this morning to stand by us, use us for your honor and glory. Amen. We ask you, Lord, to just come by and anoint us to preach your word. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor. Amen. And all the thanks. It's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I was asleep Tuesday night. I was talking to Brother Josh a little bit. And I'm not really one that's big on dreams. And I've said this before. In Panama, everybody had dreams and they wanted interpretation. I mean, from the very simple things and just things that they dreamed about and thought everything had significance. And Brother Archie Morgan said one time, he said, I wonder if folks have heard from God or just ate too much pepperoni on the pizza the night before. And a lot of times that's the way it is. But I in this dream, and God woke me up just right after that with the scripture on my heart and began to deal with me about this. But I saw the church, and we were having service, and God was a-moving among us. And you could actually, I mean, just felt like, feel the presence of the Lord as he settled down in amongst his people. And people begin to rejoice, and I saw something. And as I watched the congregation, there came a black fog. And that fog began to go up under pews and begin to fill parts of the sanctuary. And I watched men and women as their hands were raised, as that fog began to wrap around them. And they were enveloped in it. And then your features were gone. You couldn't tell who they were after the fog enveloped them. but it was took the form of that fog. And I thought about that, and I wondered, what is this? And kind of confused in the dream as I preached and watched this take hold. I thought, what kind of demon would ever, amen, be such, have such a power or have such a, amen, ability to take over the lives of men and women? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, bitterness. Amen. Amen. The root of bitterness, when it has consumed a man or woman, amen, will ruin their relationship with God. And I thought about how that many times people are hurt in life. I mean, it's inevitable, really, if you live in this world. There's going to be times in life when men or somebody says something or does something to you, whether it was meaningful, whether they meant to, whether it was intentional, whatever it might be, amen, when you get hurt. Amen, when your feelings are hurt or you felt like you were wrong, or you felt like somebody had done something to you that they had no business doing. Amen. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. Probably everybody here this morning could raise their hand and talk about a time in their life, amen, when something happened, amen, that consumed them and began to hurt them and began to lay hold upon their lives. Amen. The difference with a lot of people is this. Amen. Some dwell on that hurt and some move on. Amen. I've been hurt in the physical sense. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to doctor that hurt. Amen. You'll begin to, amen, begin to lean on it. And you'll begin to notice it the more and the more. I remember when me and Seth had that wreck coming home from youth camp. And I broke my leg. And for a while, I believe it was 6 weeks, I wore that cast. I remember getting up, going to work every morning, and coming down those steps there at the house, and I just couldn't walk down normally like I'd done time and time again. Amen. But I had to walk down sideways, and I'd take my good foot and I'd walk down, and I'd take that boot that I had on and I'd carefully place it so I wouldn't do any damage to that foot. And the doctor said if I didn't put pressure on it, amen, if I did everything they said to do, I probably wouldn't be any surgery. I could have that cast off in 6 weeks. So I tried my best to do what they said do. And in the end, she was right. But I realized here a while back, I was coming off those steps. I mean, probably a month or two ago, I come out of the house and I begin to walk down the steps. And instead of going down the way I've always gone down, amen, before that wreck, just walking down without a care, I noticed I was walking down sideways. And I was taking very careful, amen, precautions not to put heavy weight on that foot. And I thought, how long has it been since I broke my leg? And still I'm favoring it. And still, amen, I'm doing things to make sure that I don't complicate matters. And that's the way we are a lot of times. Amen, we nourish and we, amen, take that thing that's happened in our life. And instead of letting go and going on, we hold it in a, we harbor it and make it stronger to the point that it not only is in our life, but it consumes our life. Amen. Men have got so caught up with grudges and they've got so caught up with bitterness that their lives are just, amen, folks don't want to be around them because they're so hateful and because they, amen, can find good in nothing. D.L. Moody said about one man that had hatred in his heart. He said, I hope after he died, amen, he said, I hope that green grass grows over his tombstone. Amen, because that'll be the only thing that ever lived around him. Amen, he was so hateful. Amen, he was so caught up in bitterness that his life was consumed by it, and he began to kill others around him. Have you ever been around somebody, you can say the sun's shining, and they say, yeah, but it's going to rain. Thank God for the rain. Yeah, but it's going to be a drought this year. Amen, I'm glad I'm healthy, but I'm not feeling so well myself. Come on now, that's how a lot of folks are. Why? Because they harbor things in their heart
heart and their life, and they just won't let go. Amen. It consumes them. Amen. Think about, here's David, and the Bible said that he went up that hill. Absalom has taken over the kingdom. Amen. Now, David flees for his life. His son has tried to take the very throne that his father sat upon. And all this has came because of the sin of David. Amen. That sword has been brought to his house. Amen. David goes up that hill tired and weary. No doubt he's got doubts in his mind about what's going to happen. And they come to refresh him and nourish him. And here comes a messenger. And that messenger says, David, David, there's trouble in the city. Ahithophel, amen, thy counselor, is now the counselor of Absalom. Amen. David wrote in the Psalms about those that had forsaken him, about those that had taken their trust, of the trust that he had in them and forsaken him. He said, it was not my own enemy, but my family and my familiar friends that sought counsel against me. Amen. What could it be? How could man be so cruel? Amen. The Bible said when Ahithophel gave counsel, it was as if hearing from the oracle of God. Amen. When Ahithophel talked, amen, men listened because they had such a relationship with God. He was the one that told them how to go and where to go. And when he spoke, it was not as a man speaking, but as a man speaking from God. But now we find that Ahithophel, amen, has left David and now counsels Absalom. And to make the story short, as Ahithophel finds out that Absalom's taking counsel from another, and now the kingdom's about to fall, David's coming home. Ahithophel goes back to his house. Amen. Gets his house in order and goes out and hangs himself. Amen. Why would a man, amen, do such a thing as that? Turn his back on the king. And not only the king, but his friend. Amen. Now this is just my take on it. And from what I've heard over the years, but I begin to read that, begin to study it out. Amen. Ahithophel had a son, Eliam, and Eliam had a daughter, and that daughter was named Bathsheba. Amen. Bathsheba was a granddaughter of Ahithophel. Amen. Ahithophel was a counselor of David. And who did David commit adultery with? Bathsheba. I don't know if that was the reason or not, but could it have been that Ahithophel, amen, thought on that matter, how David ruined his family? Amen. How he committed fornication, adultery, with his granddaughter, had his, amen, son, husband of, amen, Bathsheba, killed on the battlefield. Amen. It began to consume him and drive him to the point that he sought to destroy David. If we're not careful today, I said, if we're not careful, we'll let things get in our life. Amen. We'll let matters that happen years ago, amen, get in our hearts, and it will consume us and destroy us.
Amen. I know I've heard over the years, and coming into the movement, being part of Calvary, and fellowshipping some with the Holiness Baptist Brethren, and some younger ones that I know, don't know many of the older ones, but younger ones that I know have great friendships with them, call them on the telephone. Amen. I've preached for them and they've preached for me. Come to our youth camps and camp meetings. But you get around some of the older here, and he begin to talk about Holiness Baptist and Calvary Holiness. And they'll say, well, amen, Calvary people don't want us down there at their campground. Ain't no sense in me going. We wouldn't even let me sit on the front row. Amen. They'll probably make me sit on the back. And I've heard the same from Calvary folks about Holiness Baptist people. And now I don't know the reaction from everybody there. Amen. I don't know how they think and what their mentality is about the situation.
situation. Amen. But can I tell you, no matter what they think, I cannot let that control my life. Amen. I cannot let what they think and what they said. If I took every word to heart, every time somebody's called me a name, every time somebody said something bad against me, every time somebody's put me down, I'd be a miserable, miserable man. Well, he didn't shake my hand. Well, he don't let me do this. He don't think highly of me like others do. Come on now. If you're not careful, that root of bitterness, I'll get a hold of your heart, and it'll choke out the Spirit of God. It'll choke out that livelihood. Amen. And cause you to lose out. I said it will cause you to lose out.
I don't know what you might think of this. I'm telling you, amen, God laid it on my heart. And as I got up Tuesday night, it was late, early in the morning, about 2:30, and I began to look at this, look at that scripture. And God said, look up, Strep. Amen, look up, Strep. And I mean, that's how the Lord spoke to my heart. And I thought, strep throat. I'll look up, strep throat. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, look up, strep A. Amen. A type of strep, not strep throat. Amen. But a type of strep that affects the body. And I Googled that in. They began to tell me, amen, what strep was. And I know some say, that didn't happen. You can take it how you want to. But I never heard of it before until God spoke it to my heart. Amen. It says it's a disease. And that disease, the bacteria, multiplies in your body. Amen. For 3 days, the patient may suffer swollen lymph nodes and a rising fever and excruciating pain at the site of the infection. Amen. Penicillin can stop the attack at this stage. Amen. Can I tell you? Amen. They said that if a man gets strep A and the symptoms begin to occur, those lymph nodes swollen, that excruciating pain, amen, that injection of penicillin will cure them. Amen. Or a round of treatment after 3 days or during those 3 days. Amen. If somebody seeks help and the doctor diagnoses it right, amen, that man or woman can be saved. But it says after the fourth day, amen, into day five, there is no cure for strep A. Amen, all the penicillin, amen, all the high-powered antibiotics you can shoot into a body, amen, will not kill that bacteria. And what an excruciation to death it is. Amen, it gets in the blood. It begins to destroy muscles and organs, amen, in the body. But not only that, it begins to literally eat the flesh off the body. Amen, parts of the body begin to decay. Amen, in a few days, amen, that man or that woman is dead. Amen, it's a very rare disease. You don't see it many times, but it still happens. And it still affects the lives of people. Amen. Can I tell you, when bitterness is cut down, amen, when that root is taken out, amen, people live happy lives. But when it goes on, amen, they're without care, without anybody trying to rip themselves over, amen, it will destroy. I tell you what somebody needs to do. They just don't need to get rid of bitterness. Amen. They need to get rid of the root. Amen. Get rid of that root of the problem that's harbored in your heart. But I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't the one that started the war. I wasn't the one that brought the accusations. I wasn't the one that did these things. I'm not asking who did what. I'm telling you, you gotta go on. Amen. Or it'll hinder you. Amen. It'll control your life. You'll be like Esau. Amen. That lost the blessing and sought repentance, but found it not. He'll be like Haman, that got so consumed, his anger controlled him, to the point they did nothing for the kingdom, but sought to slay Mordecai, and in the end he hung, because he was so controlled by bitterness and anger. Amen. Oh, it'll get a hold to the heart. Think about Saul. Saul had one of the greatest kingdoms in the land. One of the most powerful people. Amen. The children of Israel, he governed. And there he was. Amen. Put into that place of position. But it got so jealous and envious of David, amen, that it controlled him to the point that rather than govern the kingdom, he sought to kill David. He sought him out in caves. He did everything he could to destroy him. Even when David had the opportunity, amen, David could not lay that sword to God's anointing. Amen, he spared the life of Saul. And Saul would say many times, "Oh, David, because you've granted me, amen, this extra, because you did not do the deed, amen, I'm going on, I forgive you, only to get back home and begin to think how they sung about Saul and David. Amen. Saul has slain his hundreds. Amen. But David has slain his thousands." And he began to get jealous again. And it began to control him. Amen. I've seen people that are controlled by their hatred. Amen. Everything they do is to get back. Every time they come to the altar, it seems I can't get the victory. Why? Because of what they said and because of what they done. You know what you're doing. You're letting the enemy ruin your life. You're letting what happened 20 years ago control you today. Amen. I can't make them say they're sorry. I can't make them say they were wrong. But whether they were wrong or right, amen, don't let that contain you. I said, don't let that anger consume you. And don't let it control you in your walk with God. Amen. I'm talking about a grudge that will be judged. Amen. There's a grudge that will be judged. Amen. You know, I wish I had me a sack here. But I heard a story, and I can't remember the name of the man. I'll just use this right here for instance. Amen. Said that Zeus, the mythological Greek god, amen, one day sent out one of the gods and he placed him on earth. And his burden was that he carried two sacks. Amen. We'll say pails. He carried two buckets. Amen. That one bucket was his fault. And the other bucket was the fault of his neighbors. Amen. He said he was to carry those buckets, slang them over his shoulder. And that was to be his burden for all the time he was on earth. But you know what that man did? Amen. He put the bucket of his neighbors on the front. And he put his own faults in the back. Amen. And over time, that bucket on the back was small and tiny. Amen. He found no fault with himself. But every time he saw somebody put something else into that bucket of his neighbor until it got to the point where it's so big and so bulky it hindered his sight. It hindered his walk. Amen. It became a grievous burden upon him and it carried every day. And can I tell you, a lot of folks are like that. Amen. Here it is. They just don't act like they were, amen, like me. Oh, they need to do better. I wish they straightened up. How dare they look at me like that? How dare they talk to me, amen, like I ain't got no sense. How dare they do those kind of things? And we begin to put them in that bucket and it increases and grows, amen, to every time we try to do something. All we can do is see the faults of others. I'm telling you, that root of bitterness has got a hold of your heart. Amen, we got to get rid of it. Amen, this word grudge means, amen, it contained within. Amen. It actually means, amen, denotes the feeling that is internal and unexpressed. Amen. Never comes out. But it's there. Amen. When James was talking about that grudge, he's talking about that groaning inside. That murmuring. You know, that you might not say, but the Lord hears it. I wish the Lord helped me preach this. Oh, I feel it on my heart. I said, I feel it on my heart. Oh, but listen. And God sees you hurt. And he knows what you're going through. But he says, look at the hour. James says, look what's going on. He said, that grudge that you have,
Amen. It's going to condemn you. Why? Because the judge standeth at the door. Amen. It's a critical hour that we live in. Amen. James is warning us. I said James is warning us and saying, listen, amen, there's about to come judgment to your house. And because of that grudge, amen, the judge is at the door. Amen. You can follow, have holiness, but it's hard for me to believe. Let me put it this way. You can have a holiness standard, but you will not have a holiness heart. Amen. With bitterness in your life. I've seen men and women that had all the standards. Amen. They dressed the part, but they were bitter and angry. Can't nobody do right. Can't nobody say anything to please you. I'm telling you, that ain't nothing but bitterness. Amen. For others and what's happened. I tell you, get rid of it. The hour's too late. Amen. He's soon to come. And you're going to be judged. Amen, James. I said to get rid of that grudge. Amen. The writer of Hebrews said, follow peace with all men. And holiness without no man shall see the Lord. But it talks about that root of bitterness. Amen. Looking diligently. Lest that root of bitterness shall spring forth. And you fall from the grace of God. Amen. We better be careful. I say we better be careful. I saw the root. I saw the vine. Amen. Some it's just started on. But others it has consumed you. Your life is wrapped around it. It controls your emotion. It controls, amen, those things about you. And you're consumed by bitterness.
Amen. Andrew Murray said, depression is no more than bitterness. That's what he said. He said, a lot of depression, you can go back to what people are saying, what you've harbored in your heart. Come on now. Help us, God. I said, what you've harbored in your heart. Well, there's a cure. There is a cure for bitterness. I'm going to read this to you. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. Follow peace. It's hard to get mad at somebody if you're peaceful. I mean, if you're really sanctified, you won't swell like a toad frog if that goes against you. Amen. You won't get mad every time somebody says something that you don't like or does something that you don't like. You know how I judge my sanctification most days? By how I react. Somebody calls you stupid, what do? You say it one more time. Yeah, one more time. You laugh, you know you've done it. You might not say it out loud, but you've done your heart. Assumption is a way of life. Some of you won't laugh because you know that's how you are. I know he didn't say that. Brother Jim, he did. You know, you could like me a whole lot better if you weren't so bitter. Come on now. I see things a whole lot different when I'm sanctified, prayed up. And I go to work and folks say something, I just think, man, they're lost. I got to show them my shit and let my light shine. Man, I know they ain't saved. Amen. But I told the Lord the other day, I said, man, they're trying me. And they're trying to push that one button that's going to make me explode. And I say something that I regret and have to go back and fix. But I thought if I'm following peace with all men, amen, I just let it go right over and try to show my light forth. Amen, I can't change what they think altogether. I can't take words out of their mouth, but I ain't got to hide my light. I ain't got to let bitterness smoke it out. Amen, I'll smother it. Oh, they're so shiny before me, and I'm living holiness. Amen. I've got the standard. I don't do this. I don't do that. But are you following peace? Amen. That's one way. I said that's one way to get over it. Amen. Follow peace with all men. Amen. That's how wars are started. Amen. Men don't like what other countries do. I know sometimes we got to fight, but a lot
of times people just get mad at what they said. Amen. Then there's a war between families. There's a war between friends. But not only that, James tells us, amen, the writer of Hebrews rather tells us to fall at peace with all men. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Instructs us to follow Him. Amen. Also, the Bible teaches us that if a man have aught with his brother, and he carries that gift to the altar, and he gets down to pray, and things ain't right between you and them, he says, leave that gift at the altar, and go and fix it. Amen. Make it right. Before you even give that gift, make it right with them. Amen. There's been times when I had to say I'm sorry, and I know I wasn't wrong. There's been times when I had to ask for forgiveness, and it was all my fault. Amen. I knew I did it. I'm telling you this morning, but I felt better. I said, felt better knowing that it was on my end made right. I'm telling you, Father, amen, peace. Amen. And forgive people. Amen. Don't hold it against them. Amen. You can't change their actions all the time, but you can change your reaction. Amen. Love them with the love of God. Amen. Look over what they've done and realize through prayer, realize through that light shining in their life, that's how the difference begins.
Amen. There's a lot of folks come to the altar, put their gift there, and they got that grudge. Amen. God don't hear that. God says, don't even bring it. Amen. Leave it there. Go make it right. Then you come back. This is the hard part. I'm just throwing this in for good measure. I felt the Lord laid on my heart. Follow peace with all men. Amen. Forgive people. And forget. I forgive them. But I sure ain't forgetting. No, you didn't forgive them. You didn't forgive them. Well, it's hard. I know it's hard. But you pray over it. Now, if I say I forgive a man, and every time I go to him, all I can think about is what they done, they ain't doing me no good. Really? Man, it's quiet. I figured it was going to be. I'm telling you. Man, the devil fought me all day yesterday. I tried to study. I was so sick, couldn't even hold my head up. My room's spinning. I thought, Lord, I started calling Brother Josh to everybody. I said, Lord, no, you got to help me. I know you laid this on my heart. I know you laid it on my heart. There's something you're going to sit right here in church and go to hell. Right off the church pew. Because of what they said. When you think about that. Because of what they said, what they've done. You just don't know. I ain't got to know. I ain't got to know. If you just get rid of it. I said, if you just get rid of it, there's no telling what God could do in your life. Amen. If you just forget, forgive, and go on. We harbor it. And little by little, we're destroying. We are destroying. Look at the Bible. Look at men that were enraged and angered and how to control their life. There was Haman. There was David at times. Saul. Come on. These men, Esau. The war between Esau and Jacob still goes on today because of what happened years and years ago. I can't fix it, but I can forget about it. Amen. You know, I had a situation happen in my life years ago, and I made it right. I made it right. I purposed in my heart, I said, every time I see that person, I'm going to be as friendly as I can. And I'm going to try my best to not remember what they've done. You know, over the years, I see them and it hardly ever comes to my mind. Hardly ever.
And when it does, I pray about it. I pray about it. You know, kids are amazing. We're fitting to pray. Because they can be in a fight 1 minute, play in the next. I reckon over the years as grown-ups, we learn how to keep things. Yeah, you wrong me once, you won't do it again. I'd hate to know when God knocks at my door. I went all these years of church, and I got a grudge. Something I just wouldn't get rid of. Stand to your feet with us this morning. Here's the thing. There's some of you here that the whole reason you're so miserable is because you just can't get over some things. You say amen or whatever. If you just get over it, life would be a whole lot better. Not only for you, but those around you. And I tell you that I've been around somebody here lately, and everything they say is negative. Never anything. Nobody can't do nothing right. And somebody asked me the other day, why are they like that? I said, when you're miserable with yourself, you want to make others miserable. Can't stand to see anybody happy. Can't stand to see anybody smiling and laughing and having a good life or having a good family because you've destroyed yours. And you try to kill everything around you so you can be as dead and as miserable as you. Man, I don't want no part of that. I don't want no part of that. Well, they just need to get over it. Maybe you do too. Maybe you do too. You know, it's easy to see the faults in everybody else. I've been trying to look at myself, and I think, man, if I could just act better towards them, if I could show more love towards them, if I could see them in the eyes of Jesus or through the eyes of Jesus, what a difference that would be. Won't you take that grudge this morning and throw it away and make it right? Make it right. I mean, the altars are open. Everybody would just come gather in this morning and ask God to help us.